The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could not do a deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you attended or tuned in to last Sunday and heard Jerry Hiller lead worship and preach, you have the perfect example of what I am trying to say this Sunday. The hardest ministry assignment I had in my 54 years of ordained ministry was St. Paul. I served congregations in rural West Texas, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Spokane, Everett, and Vancouver, Washington. In each of those seven congregations, the question was never survival. It was, how do you keep up with growth? How do we house and provide programs and ministry staff for the many people who became part of those congregations? It was the same problem in Vancouver when I served St. Andrew, then Family of Christ, then Bethel in Brush Prairie, until I came to St. Paul. Here, survival was an open question. Some in the synod saw St. Paul's property as a potential asset and sought to close her down. With diminishing numbers, challenging budgets, and decaying buildings, our future appeared bleak. what St. Paul had been was no more. We had few Sunday visitors, and usually they visited only once. It was a rude awakening for me to life in aging faith communities in a changing landscape of American culture. And then COVID struck, isolating people, adding to the rapid decline in worship attendance and involvement in the life and ministry of most congregations. Serving you was the hardest ministry I ever had. Don't take it personally. It was daunting work to do ministry here. And with you, discovering ways to encourage each other and serve the community around us. But we held on, finding ways to survive and serve and support each other. I was not trained or equipped for this kind of ministry. And I learned with you to become a scrappy church, finding hope within the challenges. I often despaired of my ability to serve you and lead you into a better future. But ministry at St. Paul has changed me and my point of view. I have experienced joy and hope as I have seen the good work Pastor Linda has done and the hope she has brought to St. Paul and to her precious people. Now there is so much life here, more life than I ever could have imagined. There is joy here, even as we gather together to face a daunting future. There is real community here and real ministry being done. One striking example comes to mind. There are many, many others. Ty of the, I think it's Butterscotch Cookies, came to worship with us and found a home with us. And he invited his sister, Chris Ann, who brightens our Sundays with her infectious, cheerful greeting. She is brought here by her amazing and faithful husband, Bill. Ty, the evangelist, Bill, the caregiver, Chris Ann, the greeter and bringer of joy. God called them here, but you welcomed them, you accepted them, and you made room and a home for them. I look around the sanctuary and am amazed by the vibrancy and diversity of our worshiping community. What a wondrous community God has called into St. Paul. What amazing generosity of spirit you show and live week after week. But this is not the end of the story. There is so much ministry to be done by each of us, so much ministry to be accomplished, that it is only by God's grace and strength and gifts that we will be able to answer God's call to action, to mission. Four things that St. Paul has taught me. One, Ministry is not about numbers or age or perceived success. It is about faithfulness, hope, service, and community. Two, ministry calls us to live in hope. To live in hope in the present and into the future, not in the past. We don't judge our worth or make decisions according to the past or present world standards. Three, everyone counts, and everyone is a gift to us, and they bring gifts that we need. Everyone has important ministry to do and the God-given gifts to do it. We need to see each other through God's eyes. Fourth, we don't get to retire from ministry, ever, you or I. Our jobs might change as we will change, age, and grow. Ministry at St. Paul is not about grand gestures or large numbers. It is about doing what you can with what you have. Our tasks may change and our abilities or health may decline, but you and I, we are in it for the long haul, doing good wherever and whenever we can, encouraging and supporting each other, depending on God to send us the gifts, the strength, and the people necessary to keep this precious ministry alive and thriving. A beacon of vibrant hope and love and faith on the corner of 13th and Franklin in downtown Vancouver. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We sing, appropriately enough, Lord, you give the Great Commission. Would you rise and join me?